Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Another episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows, and we've got a ton of great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you could like, share, subscribe. We're now firmly over the 500 mark on YouTube. It's so funny because we went above 500, and then we went below 500, and then we went above 500, and then below 500. Now we're finally up over 500 and hopefully here to stay. Thank you so much to everybody that has subscribed in the past couple days, actually on the air as well. So we truly appreciate it. If you want to go ahead and find out what we're up to all the time, go ahead and subscribe today so you get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the Lakers Fast Break. Pop Culture Cosmos, our latest episode of the Pop Culture Cosmos, we talk about who we think should go in this year's edition of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's a great discussion I have for the folks from Alternative Twist Radio, so hopefully give that a listen to. And then if you want the coverage of the latest news and trends of pop culture, go ahead and hit Pop Culture Cosmos on Facebook. Also as well, LakersBall.com. Go ahead and check out Ox 1947 today at LakersBall.com. And if you want your lawn transformed into something much more magical than it is today, and we were just talking about that as we were going on the air, how much this guy is doing and how busy he is, but he'll always find time for you at Simblades, SimbladesWithTheY.com. Plus also as well, the Lakerholics.com crew, Laker Tom, the number one Lakers blogger, and also Admiral Akbar, who hopefully won't set a trap for us tomorrow, aka Jamie Sweet. Also check out the Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast. And don't forget, Friday mornings right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Magic Man in the Morning. Magic Man in the Morning. Coming at you Friday morning, 7:30 a.m. Pacific. And if you could do all that, it is sincerely appreciated. I do also want to make a mention that we are probably going to go ahead and, after some long thought, probably go off on our own for a while as far as a standalone podcast. We've had a lot of support from our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network, but we feel that we've grown and matured as a show. So we want to go ahead and thank the Hoopheads Podcast Network for all that they've done for us, and truly appreciate it and wish them well. And you know what? If you want always some good NBA talk, go ahead and check out HoopheadsPod.com. I do also want to tell everybody a good story out there. I was actually checking my notes for Facebook up in today, and I wanted to go ahead and mention that one of the groups, because I actually share our videos of the post-game videos to over 50 different Lakers Facebook groups every time I do it. So one of the groups, there was a conversation. I guess there's a couple guys out there that do their own type of show as far as covering the sports world. And they're looking at us and saying, "Hey, dude," talking to his friends, "why aren't we doing this, man?" Well, okay. Before you do you know what you're getting yourself into when you want to do a Lakers show right? Okay, I'm just going to start off with doing it on a regular basis, not once a week, because no longer can you do a Lakers show once a week and stay relevant. You've got to be on it right now during the season, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a week. So are you prepared to do a Lakers show? Because if you do, you got to go ahead and catch up to us right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. But it is NBA observations. Thanks so much for joining us. It is an off day for the Lakers. The Lakers are 31-34. And as we talk right now, they are still tied with Utah, but in 11th place based off the tiebreakers right now. I do want to mention the week ahead for the Lakers because this could be a very pivotal week. I don't think it's the most important week of the season. I think next week or the week after is probably the most important weeks of the season. But this is a very important week where the Lakers can actually find themselves by the end of the week right there in the thick of it. Maybe as high as 7th or 8th place as a possibility if they go on a run, if they win these next three games. But these next three games aren't going to be easy. Yes, tomorrow is Memphis without Ja Morant and also as well no Brandon Clark. But you've got Toronto coming up after that and the New York Knicks. So today we're going to go ahead and discuss all three of these teams. First up, first man here, you got to go ahead and check out what he's doing today at Ox1947 at LakersBall.com and SimBlades.com. It is Joe Soro. And Joe, great to have you here. First up on Tuesday is Memphis. Memphis, obviously, you know, is having a lot of issues because they had a very bad weekend with the news that Brandon Clark is out for the year and probably for a lot longer than that with a torn Achilles. They did actually have Dylan Brooks out for a game due to a suspension because he had 16 NBA technicals, but he'll be back in the lineup for tomorrow. And, of course, the news that Ja Morant is out for at least a couple games, if not longer, as he takes time to reflect on his actions in regard, well, I guess the latest one is that in Denver when he was at a club flashing a gun on Instagram Live. So your thoughts on how the Lakers can take advantage of this and not go in thinking of it in a way that, like, you know, often is a trap for these type of games, but how the Lakers can start taking advantage of a situation where Memphis, a team that was just so confident in its abilities not too long ago, is suddenly in a little bit of disarray.
So Memphis had a banner year last year for Memphis's history. And they're starting to build some confidence. And of course, Ja Morant being the prized, at this point, prized draft selection over Zion, that probably added a little bit more inflated worth. Is that a good word to use within a G rated? We've seen remnants of Ja Morant's atmosphere, one being his father on the court, picking fights with people on the court. We've cracked on LaVar Ball in the past about being kind of a fame whore, using his kids as the bounce back. But, you know, a lot of times the little things will point to the obvious. Now, I wasn't expecting Ja Morant's activities to be what they are, but looking at it from a sport perspective and a Laker perspective, I'm quite happy. It's one less weapon that we have to deal with tomorrow, and I'm hoping that the Lakers can take advantage of it so that we could probably get the 10th seed by tomorrow. Now, we still have to wait to see what happens with Utah tonight.
I do also want to mention D'Angelo Russell has been upgraded to questionable, which is upgraded from doubtful. So it is an upgrade. So he may be a game time decision as far as playing in tomorrow night's game.
That's good news. I've been hoping he could come back and stabilize the offense. He's the only true point guard on the team with LeBron, and it's just going to make things a lot easier for some of the players like Rui and Beasley and those guys that need open shots. You know, D'Lo's going to be able to run a pick and roll with AD. That's going to be a little bit more smooth and obviously create a little bit more space, even though they did get a lot of space on Sunday, which was actually the surprising part. I went back and watched some of the footage in that game, and it comes down to AD's aggressiveness. They could not really leave him. And when you can't leave a guy, you're going to create space for your shooters. So I can only imagine what it's going to be when you actually have a point guard who can actually shoot and control the ball and actually run a decent pick and roll, because unfortunately Dennis doesn't, that's not one of his strong suits, unfortunately. However, his strong suit is coming off the bench as a backup point guard. And I think that's where that'll be a benefit for the Lakers. The Lakers can show us for the first time since the 5-game winning streak that they're ready to make a run here. And that's what I'm going to be looking for. I understand there were some of our esteemed fans that were not happy with our tone on Sunday, or if I should say Sunday evening. And I got to be honest, I don't disagree. I watched the show to critique like I normally do. I didn't notice I was being overly negative. I think I was just more stating what I saw. But there was this, I don't know, there was like a bickering type tone with our delivery on Sunday. And I think,
yeah, but these are things that we've seen before. We've seen this play out this way before.
Correct.
So you forgive our trepidation on just blindly going in and saying, oh, the Lakers are going to do everything great. You know, the playoffs are around the corner. You can count us in for the sixth seed, just like Darvin Ham predicted. We got to call it as we see it, Joe, because we've seen this scenario before.
Good. And I just wanted to kind of encompass that tone from our audience and then have you return like you just did with a realistic reason why we are the way we are. I understand that positiveness feels good. I understand that we want to feel good and have happy thoughts. The reality of that is it's not very real. You're talking about a team that has a massive Jekyll and Hyde personality, and we're just not in a position to kind of ride a wave that's going to be too positive for too long, because there's always something going on where that there's one good wave and then there's a wave that comes in and takes you off your rhythm. So tomorrow I'm expecting the same effort they put in on Sunday. Let's just leave it at that. If that effort is there, there should be a very good chance that they come away with a win. And then at that point, we're looking like we're going on a roll here, hopefully, to getting a solid playoff position. Ideally, hopefully, if we can make a run, we could get up into the 8-7s. But I'm gonna take 10-9 first before we go anywhere else. And to go with that, I think Gerald got too excited in listening to the commentary. I am going to continue as host for Gerald and pass on the next question to Sean Grice. Sean, we watched the game last night, or I should say yesterday afternoon, enjoyed the game. We had commented a lot about what to expect after a win like this. And mm-hmm. I think I just want to make sure that I don't want to come in here continually repeating over and over again the same thing we've done for 4 months, which is we get excited, we get depressed, we get excited, we get depressed. I'd rather kind of keep an even keel on this and continue it until we get a reason why we should be overly optimistic.
Well, but I've also always told you, I'm going to shoot it at you real. I see things in an analytical sense. I try to see things as an executive, a basketball executive
would. Well, don't say that to John Morant.
But I'm just trying to tell you, I'm trying to see it as the way it should be, not the way I would like it to be. And that's the sometimes gets, I know our fan base kind of a little bit upset. Why are we not more on board with things? Why are we not really down the throat, you know, of sometimes it's more of a, why aren't you guys a little bit more positive?
Yeah. It's like, you know, we're the sour kiss, Gerald, and we're not giving them the nookie that, you know, they really don't deserve consistently because but they haven't
team
played
is 31
like,
and 34.
They
so you
play
yeah.
like they want the nookie. So yeah. we have to say that, you know, we have to bring the sour with the sweet here. And
yeah, exactly.
you can't have one without the other. You can't and have joy without the sorrow. And yeah. it's sorrowful right now. Like, I'm sorry to point that out to Laker fans right now, but my God. So, Gerald, when the last All-Star break, the last 34 games, we were 9-25. I keep bringing this up, and I'll keep repeating it until we reach game 100 of this point. Mm-hmm. So we were 9-25 to end last season. We are 31-34, ladies and gentlemen, as Gerald Glassford has pointed out.
We're not a 700 team.
We're like a 40-60 team over the past 100 games, and
that's
really
not
bad.
Now, that's not to say that there's not good news coming up on the road for us. Mm-hmm. The schedule looks like it could be very advantageous for us, not only with some home games, although we haven't played that great at home overall this season. But, you know, if we start playing better at home, it could be very advantageous for us. And the next game I wanted to go ahead and cover, and you're the perfect guy to do it, it is the Magic Man in the morning himself. The madman from Toronto, the guy that just can't get out of Toronto traffic, unless he's here to talk some NBA observations. It is Sean Grice and Magic Man, the next game on the list, because we've already talked about the troubles and the highs and the lows of what's going on with the Memphis Grizzlies and what we're getting on Tuesday night. But after that, my friend, coming up a little bit later on in the week, on Friday, because the Lakers get 2 days off, is the Toronto Raptors, a team that you are very familiar with. You said you've gone and seen them on more than one occasion this season. You've seen the disarray on that team. You see a team that has skill, that has talent, but has not been able to put it all together until a little bit recently. They've been able to put these – they're getting closer to the 500 mark, mm-hmm. but there's been the times they've been down like 6-7 games below 500. People were questioning whether or not they should sell off the you know, the assets on the team, and, you know, what about the unrestricted free agents coming up? So a lot of questions still on Toronto, but – things may be putting itself together little by little as they head out to the West Coast and the Lakers on Friday.
Yeah, actually, they're giving the Denver Nuggets some problems right now, Gerald. You know, it was very interesting coming into this year, looking at that roster. You know, you kind of felt, well, you know, they've got a lot of youth and they've got a lot of length. And Nick Nurse, we know, is a championship-level coach. So you would assume, you know, they'd be relatively in most games. But, you know, it's the same old story, unfortunately, with the Raptors as it's been with the Lakers ever since the bubble, really. It's injuries, it's inconsistent play from your superstars at times. And, you know, other than Pascal Siakam, Gerald, the Raptors really haven't had a consistent go-to anything this year, anything. You know, he's the only player on that team scoring above 24 and averaging over 47% from the field. Scotty Barnes has really struggled.
He's regressed.
He has. And, you know, it has a lot of people in Toronto wondering, yo, well, you know, what's going on here? Because
my good friend Rafael Barlow looks a lot smarter this time around, because I remember his famous comment, you know, why would you take the number five guy on a not number five pick on a glue guy? And, you know, obviously him winning the Rookie of the Year, everybody was getting on his case. Flash forward a year later, doesn't look so bad after all.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look he can catch up to the expectations that were expected of him, Gerald. So I mean, well done again, Mr. Barlow. He's very perceptive, that man. Very perceptive. He knew I lived in a European neighborhood, and he never heard a peep out of the neighborhood, just my own home, and he's that perceptive. So bravo to him. But yes, unfortunately, with Scotty Barnes' regression and Fred VanVleet, Gerald, I mean, he hasn't really had the same, I would say, shot in the arm defensively that he's had in the past couple years. You know, his block percentage is down, his steal percentage is down. He's not really getting after it like he used to. He's more prone to lackadaisical effort. as opposed to giving his full effort and energy offensively. So well, things are coming together for the Raps right now. But I think if we play our same game and if everybody is relatively healthy, and I do mean everybody, including D'Angelo Russell, I think he creates problems, especially in the backcourt against the Raptors.
Well, if he doesn't make it tomorrow, he's going to make it by Friday because that's an extra 2 days off. Joe, can we agree on that most likely? Since he's already listed to questionable, that if he doesn't make it tomorrow, if he's a no-go for tomorrow, that we can reasonably assume that he would be upgraded to maybe probable by Friday?
I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be playing on Friday for sure. But we do need him for tomorrow's game. Yeah. It just makes the offense run just that much smoother. And the spacing is going to get better even more so than it did on Sunday. It's going to need to be an all-out team effort like every game we go into. Last year, we were, I believe, 3 games less in wins with 65 games in. And what they end up with here, I want to look at it as Darvinham said they're trying to get to the 6th seed. And I think that's a good goal. I think that's a good goal to go after.
Agreed.
If they want to get to that number, you have Memphis tomorrow and then 2 days off and Friday, and then you're off a day, and then you're playing New York on a Sunday, which New York's been playing very, very
well.
Very
we'll touch on New York and see it. That we'll close out the show in New York.
Right? Yeah. After that, you've got Houston, day off, Mavericks, then Orlando. So looking at that particular setup, let's Memphis, Toronto, New York. I'm sorry, I forgot about New Orleans on the 15th. On the first half of a back-to-back with Houston. So you're looking at Memphis, Toronto, New York, New Orleans, Houston, Dallas, Orlando. That's your next 7 games. Can you go 5-2? That's going to be the question. If you can go 5-2 for that 7-game stretch, you're probably going somewhere positive. And the reason why I stopped there is because after that, we're playing Phoenix on a Wednesday. And for some weird reason, like the Clippers, the Lakers can't beat that team. So I don't know. And of course, you know, it's going to be a home game. So hopefully they can break that little, you know, run of mediocrity on that team. And then they got Oklahoma City, Chicago, and then Chicago again. There's a run here, guys. There's a run that they can hit.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse. So you would watch The Tomorrow War before The Matrix?
Yes.
If you forced me down, I was tied into a chair and I had to watch one thing, I would say The Matrix Resurrections.
Really? Funny.
Yeah, because of all the cutscenes, I could remember what a good movie was like.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Yes, that's the only reason for the flashbacks, to remind you what a good Matrix movie was. That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Well, we had mentioned that the first 10 games coming out of the All-Star break were going to be the toughest because the 13 behind it had some very winnable games. And be that as it may, there's a lot of winnable games on that list coming up, and especially with the Chicago games, no matter what Pat Beverly tries to say, you know, like you said, with Oklahoma City, we don't know what their status is by that time. They could really be in the tank machine by that time. We don't know as of yet. They're still trying to play pretty hard right now, even without SGA. But yes, the schedule looks really good for the latter half and as they close out the season. So there's very real possibility, a very real possibility the Lakers could realistically find themselves in maybe 8th, 7th. I don't know about 6. Like I say, at 6 is going to be tough for them to hop all those teams, because you're still talking about 5 teams you have to hop in order to get there. And you're expecting all of them all to come back to you, the field to come back to you, so to speak. But it is a very real possibility with the schedule, Sean, that it could work out where the Lakers don't necessarily have to go ahead and worry about being on the back end of a play-in where they have to play 2 just to survive.
Yeah, I agree. I agree there, Gerald. And by the way, very, very nice observation there about SGA. I think the only...
Well, that's why it's called NBA observation.
I think the only foot problem that guy hasn't been diagnosed with was gout.
Yes. I agree with you, Blue. I agree. You look like about ready to tell a scary story with that lighting.
You know,
I love the little ghost on the end. Yes. Really cool. Nice touch, Blue.
You know, that's... I mean...
Don't tempt Joe, because he's just going to put on that red filter again and act like he's, you know, in hell. Oh, he's going to do it because you asked for it, or because I asked for it. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, no. Oh, God. All right. So before the devil incarnate appears, I just wanted to say, yes, I agree with Gerald 100% that.
It was there for a second.
It would be in the best interest of this.
There it is.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So there he's got the prodigy lighting going on.
Yes. All right. Fair enough. Go ahead, Sean. Let's stay on track. Let's try to ignore the devil.
Yeah.
Himself.
Yeah. No. That's his game here. He's trying to get me unfocused. It's not going to work. Okay. Yeah. No. It would be in our.
He's getting here. You're going to be like Russell Westbrook blowing that layup.
No, I'm not. I'm good. All right. Okay. So I do not want to play in this back-to-back playing crap again, Gerald. It's ridiculous at this point. And we see the schedule. It's the second easiest that in the league, apparently, not even in the West, in the league.
There are no excuses for the Lakers.
There are none left. There are none left. You're playing the bottom feeders. And once in a while, you're playing a dragon. But for the most part, you should be fishing here.
And you're playing home games against these good teams.
Yes, you are. And by the way, we're 16-15 at home. So let's accentuate the positive there, Gerald. I mean, we are one game over 500 at home.
But compare that to the rest of the Western Conference home records.
Yeah. But Gerald,
it's
I mean,
not
we...
As pretty.
We
It's we're, not as
yeah,
pretty.
I know, but we're trying to be positive here, right? Apparently, this is a safe space. Tonight.
Their road record isn't that bad. That's
no, the road record isn't terrible compared to the rest of the league, but that home record,
they are stellar compared to Golden State.
But look at if you go in depth, look at the difference in the point differential on the road and home. You want to take a couple aspirin after you see that.
Yeah, I agree.
But moving on.
Just to let everyone know, the Lakers have dropped down into 12th place because of a tiebreaker, because Portland just won, just to let you know.
Who'd they beat? The Wizards?
They did. They beat, no, Detroit. Portland just beat Detroit.
Oh, okay. So the Lions, Tigers, and Bears, they beat up on one of them. All right. Yeah, so...
but it's funny thing is New Orleans plays Sacramento tonight, and if New Orleans
loses,
there's going to be 4 teams at 31-34, and if Oklahoma City wins, it's 31. There will be 5 teams at 31-34.
Yeah, you know it's this season takes on a new version of the term cannibalizing the West, because normally it was the West beating up on the East, and then they would basically split the wins amongst themselves evenly, Gerald. Now, this year, the top end of the East has just absolutely feeded on the Western Conference. I mean, outside of Denver and outside of Memphis, they feasted. And the West evens out, but that's why you have five teams at 31 and 34. And again, this is, I know a lot of people are just down on the play-in and want to throw it in the toilet. And
well, I was first kind of skeptical on it, but I like it. I like the concept. Yeah, I really like it. It creates a lot of interest in and fun in the league. So.
It does. And for, I know a lot of people don't like it, but the fact of the matter is that a lot of these teams are looking at the percentages of them making the playoffs versus the percentages of perhaps, you know, if everything bottoms out, you still may end up with Victor. Yep. If everything bottoms out, you're still a lottery team. Now, well,
the Lakers can't focus on that because they
That I agree 100%, Gerald. We talked about that incessantly too, how we're not incentivized to want to tank or get worse. No, that's not the case. But the point is, unless they actually make the tournament, it's all irrelevant because they'll fall into the lottery. And I don't want to see what happened in 1993 with the Magic happen to us, where you're 41 and 41, you have the lowest odds, and somehow you end up winning it.
Well, we'll see what happens, my friend. But before we head on out, it is the Sunday game. It is against the New York Knicks, who just won on the road at Boston in a very, very impressive performance. What are you guys drinking anyways? You got it. Okay. I heard bottles popping and cans being opened. So
I have the American Club. I have, no, this is not in honor of Laker Tom, Gerald. This is honor of America. Okay. Coca-Cola is American, man. It's not, it doesn't just belong to Laker Tom.
Okay.
It doesn't belong to you. It just doesn't belong to Joe. It belongs to the rest of the world, man. Hats off to America. Coke is great.
Fair enough. But it is the Knicks heading into the Crypt on Sunday. And I want to ask you this, Joe. I mean, obviously, they've been playing really, really well. I don't know if anymore you could say that they're playing above their heads. I mean, Julius Randle, after a bad – he had a great year, then a bad year, and then now back to having a really solid year. We still see the fact that I think that this whole team has been energized by – Brunson has been really, really good for them. Your thoughts on the Knicks before we head on out, my friend?
They're making a run. I don't really pay attention.
You think the Lakers could still match up? They won with LeBron, though, in New York.
Yeah, it's
hear what he said. Winning?
What was that, Sean? Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, no, I was going to say Tibbs had the quote of the year when he said winning is more fun then fun is fun.
Okay.
That is the quote of the year. He's 100% right about that.
The thing is, I want to see Julius Randle play a motivated Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. It is a Sunday game, and for some reason, I don't know, I feel like, I don't know, we don't really have a good record against the Knicks on a Sunday night. I don't know why. To look at it from current position situation, the Lakers need to kind of go on an extended run here. And it doesn't matter if they're playing New York, Phoenix, or anyone. They need to go into every game thinking that they need to win every game, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter who's hot. It doesn't matter who they beat. I think right now Boston is starting to really, really – have problems containing leads to the point where there's 9 seconds left and the Cavaliers now are up three. And it's an epidemic. It's an epidemic in the NBA in general now where no lead is safe. Look what happened with the Clippers last night against the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies were up 15 going to the fourth, and they lost in almost a blowout in the fourth quarter. It was like, what the hell happened here? I changed the channel for a second, and all of a sudden – the Grizzlies choke it away. We are in unprecedented times in the NBA, and I think the transition of that is gotten to the point where I don't really know anymore how to analyze what to expect on a day-to-day, game-to-game basis. I just don't. I don't know if the Knicks come in drunk in that game. I don't know if they come in focused. I don't know if the Lakers are focused. It's really, really, it's not a Laker problem anymore. We make it sound like it's a Laker problem, but it's not. Just like you said in the standings, if Oklahoma City wins tonight and New Orleans loses, we have four teams that are 31 and 34. The team above that are the Clippers, and they're at 34, 33. The team ahead of them is 33 and 32, 34 and 32, 34 and 31. I mean, this is as mediocre a lineup as I've ever seen in the NBA. I have never seen seven teams practically with the same record all the way through in this capacity. I've seen 50-win teams, 50, 52, 54, 58, 62. Yeah, but that's what you're supposed to do. But to play 500 ball, seven teams playing 500 ball, that's just, to me, that shows a bad product because no one can kind of separate themselves. They're all basically the same. And I think that has a lot to do with the analytical part of things. That has a lot to do with the fact that you're sitting guys because you want to rest them. They've turned into baseball. So what happens on Sunday? What happens against the Knicks? Whether it's the Knicks, whether it's the Pelicans, whether it's the Hornets, it's irrelevant at this point. It's going to always come down to, is AD going to be motivated to play the whole game? And are the Lakers going to stay healthy enough? Obviously, we don't have Mo Bamba now because he turned his ankle. Schroeder turned his ankle. Everybody's turned their ankles. Just call the Lakers the Los Ankles Lakers or the Los Angeles.
That's what I was
ankles.
Thinking. Yeah. Or the Los Angeles feet problem.
Yeah, this is the, I mean, come on. I don't know who's taping these guys ever since Gary Vee left. Who's taping these guys? What's going on? How did guys standing around just turning their ankles left and right? But I'm going to focus on the game tomorrow. I'm going to focus on Friday. We're going to get a good chance to see two teams that are, despite Ja Morant not playing, still a very motivated team. And we're going to see a Toronto team that has some really good players. And I'd like to see them get wins there because I think if they can make a run of seven or eight in a row, then the whole mentality changes. Should LeBron come back at the end of the year?
We'll see what happens, though. But you're right. Mo Bamba is out for tomorrow. Actually, D'Angelo Russell is listed as questionable for tomorrow. So it's a game time decision for him. Before we head on out, guys, I wanted to go ahead and get a question from our audience that was put out there by Lifted. Do you guys think that Nike is using a double standard to handle the Morant situation as opposed to the Kyrie Irving scandal? I was very highly offended by what Kyrie Irving did. And I thought it should be dealt with accordingly and very strictly. I also think that this situation, if it gets any worse, it needs to be also handled in that same fashion. So is there a double standard? I don't know yet as far as what we'll see with the league and what comes down for as far as from Memphis. So, and also, what is the Colorado authorities going to say about it too? Because they're now investigating. So this thing whole hasn't been as definitively fleshed out yet as far as the Kyrie Irving saga. That was more definitive because he's something he already posted on social media. So it was an instant reaction to that. That's something that I thought that was carried out by the team and the league in a fashion that demonstrates that anti-Semitism of any kind or anything even resembling that is not condoned or endorsed by the league. Your thoughts on this, guys? Again, I don't think there's enough there yet to play out, although obviously you saw quite a bit of on Instagram Live, but I think that the investigation by the Colorado police should continue before Powerade or Nike says, you know, adios or stays behind 100% Ja Morant.
Yeah, no, I agree, Gerald. I think he's going down hit the road, Jack Road, though.
Well, it's not heading in a good direction. Plus, you're hearing all the stuff that happened on last year. You know, the
yeah, it's very, you know, look, I'll be the first one to say it. I mean, I feel fooled here. I really do, because I thought this guy was all about what he was about, and he's not. He's just not. And that's just the error of youth. It's the error in making bad choices. It's the error in bad behavior. You know what, Gerald? It's a bigger question. I do think this. I think lifted. That was a very thought-provoking question, and I agree 100%.
Good question.
I agree 100%. I think there is a double standard, and I think there is an hypocrisy here. And you know, for Nike to come around now and say, well, you know, this time we're gonna let the legal eagles handle it.
I think
first.
You should. I think you should let.
Yeah,
it play
I think
on,
you should.
It's not as definitive.
Yeah. I agree, Gerald. It's not black
and white.
And I know
Joel probably disagree with me 100% on this because he usually does, because we usually have varying opinions on things like these. But Joe, I mean, do you see it like Magic does? You see, like, what are your thoughts on this, man?
You're asking if there's a double standard that a company like Nike has?
Yeah.
The same company that has sweatshops in China making apparel?
See, I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to answer this question in the easiest and correct way, if I had to advise anyone without sounding like Tony Robbins, you know, all up, you know, in your face, I trust no one, and I'm never surprised at anything strangers do. At the end of the day, a conglomerate like Nike only care about one thing. PR, I'm sorry, two things, PR and money, which
yes,
go hand in hand.
I was going to say.
Okay. And that's a reflection on you. You being appalled or disappointed or, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this. Why? Why are you surprised? Okay. I was in a lawyer's office listening to siblings desecrate themselves for their parents' money. And you want these people to give two craps about you? Like, when are you guys going to wake up? I'm saying you guys as in society. People are arguing and wanting to kill their siblings for money that's not even theirs from their family. And you want them to give two craps about you because you have a certain religion, certain look, you have the gun, you don't have a gun. What is this? Like, why do you even waste your time with all this stuff? So Ja Morant, I'm going to put it simply. Ja Morant wants to stay. He wants to be a tough guy. Just, you see it in his dad, right? His dad wants to be a tough guy, but can fight with Shannon Sharpe, okay? As much as Shannon Sharpe might look imposing, he's a buttercup, okay? Come on. What are you picking a fight on? With some guy at a game.
Or with Cat's dad during that series.
Yeah, okay. So in the end, nothing surprises me. Anybody can get online and start yapping, right? But what are you going to do about it? Everybody keeps telling us what the problems are, but zero solutions. Zero. What are you going to do to solve the problem? Oh, no, I want that guy to solve it. So to end this on the Ja Morant situation,
yeah,
and this appallment... Is that even a word?
No.
But you just
appalling,
created it.
Yeah.
It's appalling that he has a gun. Okay.
I like appalment better.
Where yeah, I like
appalment. Appalment is better. It's not a
what?
Word.
Going to be on the
is what is, so it is rumored that he pulled a gun out on a 17-year-old kid. Right?
Pistol yeah, whipped
a pickup
him.
Game.
Pistol whipped him.
He pistol whipped him, right?
At a
yes.
pickup game, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And then he went into a club and did a Plaxico Burress. Other than shooting himself, but he didn't shoot himself.
Pretty much. But then also okay. the mall employee.
Yeah,
he
threatened the life of a mall security officer in
or,
the parking
or the,
lot.
The entourage.
Because
the,
his mother got into an argument with a person at the I'm not sure what even store it was. It's not. It's irrelevant.
But it was a mall security.
Yes.
That's a good one, Blue, called, by the way. I'll do that next time. I'm not going to go into a diatribe here, but at the end of the day, guys, stop being surprised when schmucks schmucky. Okay. Ja Morant is a wannabe tough guy who was raised by a
wannabe tough guy. No. I wasn't surprised at that crap.
I'm talking to Gerald. Cool, Sean. I'm talking to Gerald now. Because he's the guy that gets surprised.
I just like the way he goes, wanna be tough guy. And then Joe flexes up again, wanna be tough guy.
Well,
and
just, then he flexes just, up
again, wanna just, be tough guy.
We talk about reality of the show.
You wanna be a tough guy?
I'm not.
You wanna be a tough guy? Go to the military. You want to be a tough guy? You want to brandish your brandish a weapon? Go in the military or go to law enforcement. Do things like that if you want to be that guy. Okay. And I don't mind you being that guy, a tough guy, you know, if you want to be or whatever. But you know, when you start waving around things that can kill you, yeah, that's probably not a good idea. My advice to people who are legally allowed to carry is you only take that sucker out when your life is in danger or you sense someone else's life is in danger. If you want to be a tough guy and show some mall cop, Paul Blart type, what a tough guy you are, that's enough evidence to show you that you're all fluff. Okay? Anyone can be a tough guy with a gun. Can you be a tough guy with this?
Yes, and not be like Chris, and not be like Chris Paul, and call the police.
Yeah, well, or be like Howard Stern. Well,
he did, Joe. You know he did.
Yeah. Well, when you're in that celebrity cocoon, you're always in the fear of getting sued, right? So it's just easier to kind of play it safe. I think Keyshawn Johnson said one time that he got stuff thrown at him at a game when he was going through the tunnel to go to the locker room. And, you know, for him, he's, instead of turning into Russell Westbrook, he just ignores it and says, I don't have time for that. I'll just go in there, forget about it, and I don't have to worry about somebody suing me for their feelings or whatever.
You know what, Joe? You know what? That's true, Joe. But he did lose his head in the neighborhood when JB was driving his car too fast. God didn't want Keyshawn to put his hands on Justin Bieber that day.
Yeah, so, Gerald, this was mainly directed at you. Because...
Of course, isn't it always?
Once Gerald, again... I had a question for you before we head out.
Go ahead, Sean.
So, right now, if the playoffs started, the Cavs would play the Knicks. Given the matchup and the way the Knicks have been playing, who would you favor in that series, Gerald?
I'd still favor the Cavs because they've got a front and advantage. Plus, Mitchell, I think, would go crazy in that type of format.
Okay.
I don't think their lack of a wing catches up to with them until the second round.
Okay. So.
Once again, though, it is the Lakers fast break. We do appreciate you joining us for NBA observations and some other observations as well, as you heard. Please go ahead. If you have any questions, let us know in the comments below or LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. Also, go ahead and want to let you know that we are doing a ESPN March Madness Bracket Challenge. We've got a group out there already set up for you, so you can go ahead and join us today at ESPN March Madness Bracket Challenge. It's under Lakers Fast Break. Go ahead and join us. I know Sean's going to be there. Stone Hansen said he wants to join up. I know Henry from Courtside Lakers is going to be there. You know, maybe even Joe might want to go ahead and join us. So go ahead and check it out there. No, he's saying no. Okay, all right. But maybe even Laker Tom, although you know Laker Tom is just going to pick UCLA to go all the way. So if you get a chance, please go ahead and join us today. Join UCLA. Us for all the fun. Yeah, he graduated from UCLA. Of course he's going to go ahead and pick them.
They're going to win squat.
Yeah, you never know.
Break.
They're in the top five in the country. But before we head on out, guys, I just want to make sure and let everybody know that tomorrow night we will be back for playback.tv/Lakers Fast Break. Also, as well, you can go ahead and join us for the best post game that's out there right here at the Lakers Fast Break, wherever you get your podcasts. Wednesday, we've got a great thing coming for you as returning is L. Rob for Do You Know Your Lakers Trivia? That's coming up on Wednesday. And, of course, on Friday, we've got the great game. We might throw something in on Thursday, too. Maybe even a Lakers History 101 on Thursday. I'm thinking about it. So we'll see what happens there. But some great stuff coming up for you this week. Looking forward to it. Zangerstein, yeah, we'll be here tomorrow. You know it. But you can always go ahead and catch the replay. Be like petting my cat. He's the captain of #TeamReplay. Please go ahead and check it out right now if you want. But we're always here for you. It is the Lakers Fast Break. We truly appreciate everyone watching and listening. My gosh. All right. But thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow night on Playback as Joe just keeps it down. He's laughing so hard right now. He's got me laughing. Playback.tv tomorrow. Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. You know, that is so hard to get out of here. I can't always fix it.
Your facial expression is the funny part. Like, it's the initial.
It's so hard to fix it. It is so hard to fix it in editing. So, you know what? It is what it is. But nope, we're going to go ahead and see what we can do to have a great time on playback.tv/Lakers Fast Break. And, of course, tomorrow night for the best post game in town, right here at the Lakers Fast Break podcast.